So we started last week with the Mishnah. We start again this week with the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Pei Amud Beis, where it all begins, that had, among other things, laid out the Isser of Yichud, and that one of the Heterim of Yichud is the Misyached Adam im Imo v'im Bito, that there's no Isser Yichud between parents and children. Mother and son is fine, father and daughter is fine. That was one of the coolest, one of the heterim that the Mishnah had mentioned, and it figured prominently in the opening Gemara, because the Gemara immediately wanted to know my time of the Menon, and immediately, what's the Makkar for, as we saw last week, what's almost certainly an Isser Daraisa of Yichud, and it was Michal Hein Atoshamei Alav. If the pasuk in the parsha of Mesis implies that Ben Misyachid in Imo, so apparently that's an exception to the rule. But normally, he cannot be Misyachid with any other woman except for his mother. So ironically, the exception proves the rule. The marker for the general Isser Yichud is based on the pasuk implying that there is a heter with Imo. So if you stopped here, you would think it's everything is straightforward. But of course, as we know, you turn to the next block, you turn to Pei Aleph Amud Beis, and it appears to be a machlokas amoram, surprisingly, about the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda was a second generation amoro who was a Talmud of several different rabbeim. He was a Talmud primarily of Rav and Shmuel. We often hear Rav Yehuda Marav or Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, including in the Yichud Sugis. And here we have Rav Yehuda quoting Rav Asi, who, among other things, assumes that there is an absolute heter Yichud with mother and daughter, which, again, is consistent with the Mishnah. And the Gemara tells us that the Amor Shmuel disagreed. Yehuda heard this from Rav Asi and then repeated to Shmuel, but he heard it from Asi, and Shmuel said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's no heter yichud with any erva whatsoever. I the Mishnah. The Gemara says I the Mishnah. Tipsu de Shmuel. So Shmuel says, interesting response. He quotes what's a Tosafta, and here in Kiddushin Parakei, Halacha Yud, I believe it is, that there's an iser yichud with achoso. Only mutter if there are other people there. If it's be'edim, or as the Tosefta, our Gerson Tosefta says, al yidei shnayim. So yesh la'ayin is a sidebar whether the implication of the Tosefta is you need three men, al yidei edim. Sounds almost as though you have the man and his sister and two other people. The language of the Tosefta, Adei Shnayim, sounds perhaps a little more like just two men alone is enough, and that's consistent with our Mishnah. The two men and a woman are mutter. But either way, Tosefta is clearly against Rav Asi, who was willing to make on Yichud with one sister. So what ultimately emerges is really Machlokas HaTanam. Yes, our Mishnah says that there's a Heter Yichud with Imo Bito, but we have a Braisa, a third Makkar in Tanaim. Gemara quotes this Braisa about Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Tarfon, who were concerned about Yichud with relatives. Rabbi Meir was concerned with Yichud between himself and his daughter. He's Zaru b'nei biti. So that Braisa is a source for Shmuel. So Tanoi and Shmuel chose to paskin like those Tanaim against the Mishnah. So there are a number of different questions that arise in thinking about this. The first question is, how do we paskin? And then we have to talk, after talk how we paskin, ultimately we have to talk about how you define Imo Bito, the bounds of Imo Bito. We're going to have to make sense of the heter of Achoso that Rav Asi is adding, and try to figure out how you're magdir, how you define achoso, and how you define the added element we will come back to. Rav Asi had indicated that there's less of a heter with achoso than with Imo Bito. So you have to work out those details. And maybe before we close, we'll talk about another erva with whom there is sometimes no iser Yichud. So again, so the first question, before we get into the details of definitions of imo bito and details of definitions of achoso, the first question is, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? So you saw the very brief Tosos, and as you saw, the other Rishonim are more expansive. Other Bayatosos are more expansive. Because the Gemara, the reason why I might be inclined to paskin like Shmuel is because the Gemara goes on to quote several Amoraim who were concerned with this, or even concerned with Yichud, with the Behema. And practically speaking, Abaye and others. So Tosa just says very briefly, that was just a chumra. All these Amoraim at the end of the Sugya, they're following Shmuel. They were, oh, that's a chumra bi'alma kapti. That was their personal chumra. We follow the Mishnayos. We follow the Mishnayos. The Rambam writes explicitly that that there is a heter yichud with imo and bito, and that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The language of the Shulchan Aruch, the opening lines of Sif Aleph, are a direct quote from the Rambam at the beginning of a Perek Chav Beis. Now, if you you take a look, you see that the Rishonim were curious about some questions. The Tosas Tuch, for instance, actually raised a question against Shmuel. Tosas Tuch is not sure how would Shmuel deal with the drasha. Right? We had a pasuk. We had a drasha Payim Beis of Ben and Imo. As I said before, that's the whole source for Isser Yichud to begin with, is that drasha. So how do you, what would Shmuel do that drasha? Beferish that Ben and Imo is mutter. So the Tosas Tuch felt boxed in. Tosas Tuch says, well, either maybe Shmuel's only been machmir mijabanan, or he says maybe Shmuel felt that there is a heter yichud, but only ben and imo. He says, and the Tosas Tuch points out, you'll notice that they never talk about anyone in the sugya who was machmir with his mother, just machmir with the daughter. So maybe Shmuel rejects the heter of Bito, but accepts the heter of Imo. Now, why didn't the Gemara just say, the same way Shmuel disagrees with the Rav Asi, he could disagree with the Rabbi Yochanan? Right? Why can't Shmuel reject that drasha? Asi, you'll tell me, because it's Rabbi Yochanan the Amor is calling Rabbi Shmuel the Tana. Okay, but he already said Tanoi. He already said Tanoi. So if he could disagree with the Mishnah, he could disagree with the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel. That seems like the most obvious answer. So I imagine what's driving the Tosas Tuch, the reason why he assumes that Shmuel would have to accept the drasha, is because otherwise, what's your marker for Yichud at all? What's your marker for Yichud at all? So if the whole heter Isser Yichud is based on the exception of Imo, so I assume that's what drove the Tosas Tuch to say that, especially since the Tosas Tuch in the very next line makes it very clear that he holds, like the majority of Rishonim, that Yichud is Daraisa. And that's when he gets into how do we paskin, he says, it's a shayla of a Daraisa. If it was only Drabbanon, so we say, Hilcha halacha de the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, halacha kedivrei Meikel. Bishal so from halacha rachamekel. The Rosh says you have machlokas in din and a din drabana, and it's not clear. There's no clear maskana how to paskin. So we apply sveik drabana lakula. It sounds like bishal so from halacha rachamekel. But the Tosas Tuch says other Rishonim say also this is a daraisa. This is a daraisa. So how are we going to deal with this? The truth is, if you would say that Shmuel is only being machmir midrabana and Shmuel agrees that this is mutter min haTorah, okay. That's why the Tosas Tuch and others say, no, there are better, there are stronger explanations. Tosas Rosh, Tosas Tuch, they say, it's not an even toss-up. Rav Asi was a superior authority to Shmuel, plus there are other indicators. A Stam Mishnah, like Rav Asi, or the Tosas points that made more than one Stam Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah on Pei Mebeis, the Stam Mishnah on Pei Beis Amalaf. That's why it's a pretty broadly accepted, pretty broadly accepted that we are Mako on Imo and Bito, and that's not really contested the halacha. Yeah, questions? Judah. Right. Yeah, that is possible. That is possible. And if you were to say that, so then you would, right? So if you're going to say against, you're saying we spoke about last time how you understand the Rambam's Divrei Kabbalah. Do they talk a thing as Rabban, or do they think it's Zarais? And Divrei Kabbalah is like the language Divrei Sofrim, just means Tarshu al Peh. Or what we focused on last time, maybe Divrei Kabbalah means along the lines of the Meiri. The din might be daraisa, but this is not necessarily drasha daraisa. Either some other drasha that was lost, Mepi HaShmua, or it's Halacha Moshe Sinai. Yes, if you're going to say we're not really relying on this drasha, so then there would be room to say maybe Shmuel rejects that also. Okay, that's another teretz. Right, Tosis Tuch wasn't entertaining that teretz, and he's looking around for several others, presumed because he disagreed with the Rambam, which he just says very clearly that Bishel, this Yichud Daraisa Kedarim B'Gemar, without any hiccups. Right? And then the Rush, both in Piskei Rush and Tosis Rush, is Ma'arich on this some more, and the Rush goes on not only to discuss or the back the shock of the tire of how you come to the conclusion that we pass in like. That we paskin against Shmuel, but he paskins like Rav Asi fully. Now the Rush is clear that we accept not only the Stam Mishnah, the Heter Imo Bito, but even what the Rav Asi added, that there's a Heter of Yichud with Achosa. Rav Asi himself, as saw in the Gemara, admitted that's not as robust as the Imo Bito. Imo Bito, you could even have a long term. A mother and son, a father and daughter could share an apartment together. That's not permitted for a brother and sister. But dira is a dira bekviyas is also, but yichud ba'akroi is mutter, and that the Rush is very clear about. He accepts that fully. He accepts that fully. While the Rambam and the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch do not mention that, they just quote straight. That misyachad adam im imo v'bito, no mention of achoso. So what is that? Where does that leave you? Where does that leave you? So you look in the Beis Shmuel. You saw the Beis Shmuel says, well, or the Rush passes like Rav Yehuda. On the other hand, he says Efsher. He's not sure. Efsher, Rashi is against the Stam Mishnah. If you're going to reject Shmuel because he's against the Stam Mishnah, even though he has the Tana Rav Meir, maybe we should reject Rav Asi also. Stam Mishnah only said Imo Bito, didn't say anything about Choso. So it sounds like the Beis Shmuel is not sure whether that's a strong diuk. But he says maybe the Rambam and those who quote the Rambam Taka only accept the Mishnah itself, not Rav Asi's addition about the Achoso. The Pischei Tshuva points out. Pischei Tshuva quotes a somewhat lengthy Mishnah Melech beginning Hilchos Sota. You really need to see primarily the end of the Mishnah Melech. He's not so sure that the Rambam is machmir. So you look in Hilchos Sota, the Rambam definitely sounds it is. You could work back and forth, but there's room to believe in the Rambam's language beginning with Hilchos Sota that maybe he agrees that Achoso is mutter. Why he doesn't quote it here is a bit of a question. Be that as it may, so what we have is we know that the Rosh is Mekel like Rav Asi fully. Achoso, Yichud Achoso is mutter. What the Rambam holds is somewhat up for grabs. So the position of the Beis Shmuel is significant. So if the Rambam agrees, as Mishnah Melech says, Rambam agrees that Achoso has to Yichud Achoso. So obviously, Yichud is mutter with Achoso. Even if not, the impression you get from the Chalukah Mechokek, and I think also perhaps from the Beis Shmuel, is that we should pass on like the Rush. Now, where that leaves us in terms of that point is. Where that leaves us in terms of that point is Ashkenazim pretty clearly follow the approach of the Rush, particularly with the encouragement of the Chalukah Mechokek and perhaps the Beis Shmuel and the Pischei Tshuva. This again, a machlok is what the Rambam holds, and the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam. We're going to see more than once over the course of Hilchos Yichud a major chumrah, or potentially a major chumrah from the Rambam. That more than once we're going to see it's hashmata of the Rambam. The Rambam leaves out a kula, and the Shulchan Aruch just quotes the Rambam verbatim. That might lead you to believe again that the Rambam taka does not hold of that kula. This is a very, very, very practically significant chumrah. to say that there's no heter yichud with one sister. That means you have a son and daughter at home, and your parents are leaving, you're going to have to start employing one of the other hetera yichud. I do not know. I would be curious. I have looked, or I have not gotten clarity about whether Sfaradi poskim are machmer in this. Again, it's the simplest reading of the Rambam Shulchan Aruch. There's only a heter yichud with imo and bito, but not with the choso. I have not found Sfaradi achronim or machmer. I'd be curious if you find. I would definitely be interested in hearing. I mentioned before the Tosas Tuched raised a question on Shmuel. How could Shmuel be machmer against the drash? We have a drash that says Beferish Ben Misachni Imo. How is he machmer in different approaches? Either that's the one Imo is the one erva that he's make on, or his whole chum is only drabanan. There's a reverse question which the Tosas Harash raises, which is for Ravasi, and again certainly for Ashkenazim, perhaps Sfaradim as well. Certainly Ashkenazim paskin like Ravasi, that there is a heter yichud with a choso. So the question is, what's the source for that? What's the source for the heter yichud with a choso? The source for heter yichud with imo, you have a pasuk. And bito perhaps is parallel to imo. And parents and children, what's the heter yichud for a choso? So there's a take a look at Rashi. So Rashi, the Achronim work, the Rashash and the Pnei Yeshua try to work on Rashi. Rashi says, "Darim peyav hamabez." He's a Mesiachim Achoso. Says, okay, that's much on an occasional basis. The Darim imo and bito. He says, why are you allowed to have yichud with a mother or daughter? So he explains because the story the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and in Yuma. That the Yetzahara for Yichud Krovos was weakened. The Gemara tells a story based on a very mysterious passage in Zechariah. Zechariah is full of very, very vivid images and often very difficult to understand. As a matter of fact, one of them, at least one of them, the Navi Zechariah himself says, I actually don't understand what this is. And he asks the Malach. The Malach says, don't you know? This famous Nevuah of the menorah, the nearest of Zechariah. That we learn more than once as a year as a haftarah. But many other passages in Zechariah also are very mysterious. So there's one that the Gemara comments on in Sanhedrin and the Yuma, talks about sort of confronting some sort of monstrous figure. So the Gemara understands what that means. It's a reference to the Anshe Knesset HaGedola battling with the Yetzirah. And the Gemara says that they managed to largely banish the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Gemara says it transmuted somewhat into from a sort of experiential Yetzirah for pagan meditative idolatry into an intellectual Yetzirah for Apikorsus. Then the Gemara says they saw that they had been successful with the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, based on the Pesuk, the Gemara interprets in Pesuk in Zechariah, that they decide, we're on a roll. Let's try it again. So they turn their attention to the Yetzirah for Arayos, and the Gemara says that they realized that was a very bad idea, because when they weakened the Yetzirah for Arayos, so that stopped procreative activity of all types. The Gemara says that even the chickens weren't laying eggs. So they realized that's a really bad idea. Can't eliminate the Yetzirah for Arayos. The sexual libido is critical, but the Gemara says based on the way the psukim describe what's going on in Zechariah, that they injured, maimed the eye of this figure. So the Gemara says what that means, it's a symbolic description of the fact that they didn't eliminate the Yetzirah for Arayos, but they weakened it somewhat. They weakened it to what extent? So the Gemara says, La migri inish bekrevte. There's no longer Yetzirah for incest. You look in the earlier Sifrei Tanakh and the descriptions of Bayis Rishon, you have several famous instances of what sounds like people really drawn to incest. And the Gemara says, as a result of just as the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah largely disappeared, the Yetzirah for incest largely disappeared. It is, as we know, tragically from reading the news, there are people who do have a Yetzirah for incest, tragically, typically in abusive situations. But certainly it is a rarity. Nowadays, it's Baruch Hashem a rarity. And the Gemara says that that's what Rashi is quoting here. La migri inish bekrovta, that people tend to not have interest in being intimate with their relatives. Miki kachlin v'lakrila ene, after they had wounded the eye of the Yetzirah for Gilei Arayos, so to speak. So that's fascinating. It's a little bit challenging because we have a drasha for Imo Bito. But what are you telling me? A whole story, a whole background. Zachariah and Sanhedrin, and the Yetzirah was reduced, the Yetzirah was weakened. It sounds so. Number one, what do you need to give me an explanation for? The Gemara a lot earlier explained that we have a drasha to tell me that Beimis Yachim. That's problem number one. Problem number two is if it is indeed based on Lamigri and Shbekrevte, that only started 1,000 years later. So how do you have a drasha tell me it's mutter if it only Heter only started 1,000 years later? So the Rashash and Pnei Yeshua talk about this Rashi, and they suggest Rashash suggests the two dots don't belong there. This is one long Dibur Maskil. He says Rash Lamigri Ish Bekrevte is not talking about Darim Imo Bito in particular. It's really more about Achoso, and that feeds in very well to the Rash Tosa Rash, who asks. If Achoso is based on Lamigri Inish Bekrevte, I don't understand, but we have a Din Daraisa of Yichud. There's a special heter of Imo. That's a drasha from a pasuk. It's a Xeris HaKasiv. What does it help you have a story? What happened later? How all the pieces hang? Again, sort of the same questions coming from different angles. And what emerges, the quote or the Tos Rosh quotes to the Baal Tos Ben Elchanan, he says, these two pieces work together. They aren't two separate sources. He says it's not a blank Xeris HaKasav milsibli taima that there's a heter yichud with emo. The pasuk says a heter yichud emo, but the nature of the Xeris HaKasav is that there's no iser yichud with a woman who, because of the relationship, there is no or rarely any taiva. Any Yetzihara. So the example the Torah is giving is Imo. And perhaps at the time, Imo was a unique example. 1,000 years later, the Mitzias changed. 1,000 years later, the psychological Mitzias changed. And from that point on, Lamigri Inish Bekrevte, the Yetzihara for other Krovos became reduced as well. So from that point on, they fall into the same category as Imo. So that's how these two pieces work together. You have the drasha, which provides not only the Isser Yichud, but the kernel of the heter, that Imo or someone like Imo will be mutter. Lamigri Inish Bekrevte, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, based on the Nevu of Zechariah, reports on a change in Mitzias, which is relevant to how you who falls into the category of Imo. So in the Hanami, for the first 1,000 years of Jewish history, there was no Heter Yichud with Achoso, because there was a Yetzahar for Achoso. But since the days of Zechariah, the Achoso is Mutter as well, at least in part, based as the application, the Heter of the Din of Imo now applies to Achoso as well. Which then leads us to the next question, which is, who is Achoso? But first, a question from Yitz. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We do it all the time. We do it every single Shabbos. The simplest example is that we are Michal Shabbos, for Pikuach Nefesh, or for Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh, based on state-of-the-art medical advice. So there could be a set of symptoms which doctors 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago would have said doesn't indicate hazard, so we would not be Michal Shabbos. And nowadays, the doctors say, yeah, those symptoms indicate a Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh, then we would say, go be Michal Shabbos, and vice versa. and vice versa. This is sort of a larger question. I don't want to get too far afield. That may play into the discussion about kinim on Shabbos as well. Gemara says that that's a scenario where there's something that we're makel on the Nahar Machmer on. The Gemara says that they assumed that there was no Isser of Tzad, at least not Doreit Me'at Torah, on kinim. There are a lot of trap lice on Shabbos. Gemara says, how about the Malach of Tzad? No, kinim are not Parim V'Ravim. They don't procreate, and therefore they're not alive enough to fall. Obviously, Tzad only applies to if we Tzad something live. If there's some water rolling down a slide and you catch the water, that's not Tzad. Tzad is only if you're Tzad Bal Chai. So the Gemara says, kinim are not Bal Chai because they're Einam Parim V'Ravim. They don't procreate. So that was already a question that Pachad Yitzchak, Yitzchak Lampronti raised. Pachad Yitzchak was one of the Rabbeim of the Ramchal. He wrote the first, what's usually assumed to be the first Talmudic encyclopedia called Pachad Yitzchak. And in his encyclopedia, he quotes there was a major machlokas during his time in the 1700s, late 1600s, early 1700s, with the invention of the microscope and the discovery that spontaneous generation doesn't actually happen. It's just that sometimes it's hard to see the procreative activity. And in fact, you know, entomologists who study insects have studied lice reproduction extensively. Anyone who's trying to eliminate lice wants to know about that. So we know that they are part of a raven. So Pachitza has a great quote that the machlokas in his time, major machlokas, achronim, what does that mean? So bizman hazeh, are we not allowed to kill? Are we not allowed to kill or trap the lice? And what does that say about the Tanam and Amram who did? So Pashup Shat, that's even a further extension. The Metzias didn't even change. It's just a question of the state of knowledge, which is true medically also. The Pashtus is in the state of knowledge. We're supposed to Paschal Shalos based on whatever the state of the art knowledge is. This case is easier because here the Metzias actually changed. I'll give you a primitive example. There is when you were engaged, you know, a couple is engaged. There's absolutely no heter yichud. They get married. Now yichud is mutter. How could it be? Yesterday yichud was aser, and today yichud is mutter. Yeah, the answer is the metzias changed. It's a different metzias. So then a different sif applies. So that's there. It's sort of obvious. Here it's a little more subtle. But yeah, the metzias changed. The metzias changed. So then a different sif in Shulchan Aruch, so to speak, is now going to apply. The principles of halacha didn't change. But how you categorize with the facts on the ground may have changed, so of course. A woman is single, there's no Isser Niyef. She gets married, now there is an Isser Niyef. The halacha changed? No. I mean, the principle of halacha remain the same, but the facts on the ground changed. If it's a new case, there's going to be a new psak, a new application of the same principles of halacha. But the question is, how much should we be rethinking the application? Now, the truth is, once our Gemara spoke about imo bito achoso. Later on, the Gemara spoke about bimachmer and bito and kalaso. And the Tosefta spoke about bimachmer, achoso, and chamoso. We expressly spoke about mekel, according to Rasi, on bito, imo, and achoso. So the question is, to whom do those categories apply? To whom do those categories apply? So one issue is that, as you saw, in terms of imo and bito, so the pischei tshuva here. The Pischei Tshuva here sends you back to a Bach in Chaf Aleph and to Bach here in Chaf Beis, that when we talk about Imo and Bito, both in the context of Kiruv Basar and Simon Chaf Aleph and the context of Yichud and Simon Chaf Beis, Imo Bito means not just directly mother-daughter, it means any direct ancestor or descendant. So a grandparent and a grandchild, a great-grandparent and a great-grandchild, halavai, a great-great-grandparent and a great-great-grandchild, which was more common in the day than the Sushalach, but Baruch Hashem does happen occasionally even nowadays. There's no Isser Kiruv of Basar, no Isser Yichud whatsoever. Mamish the same as Imo or Bito. And you saw the Beis Shmuel points out that the Ran seems to disagree. The Ran is not so convinced that we should be Mekel on grandparents and grandchildren, same way our parents and children. Halacha Lamaisa, I think it's usually assumed broadly, like the Pesachei Tshuva, and the Chalkas Mechokek, quoting the Bach. So that's a pretty open and shut issue. What's more involved is how you define achoso. So most, say the point, the Gemara only expressly talks the heter achoso. You look in the Rashi, just talks about achoso. If you look at Rabbeinu Yerucham, Rabbeinu Yerucham actually says that it's ach kol arayos hakrovos kigon achoso vido daso v'kayotzebo. The achoso is an example of a category. Your sister, your aunt, and the truth is that the I think Divrei Sofrim is medayik there from Tosar Rosh also. It's not as clear, but he starts talking about shar krovos. If you read the Tosar Rosh slowly and carefully, it's hard to know for sure if he thinks it's just a heter of a sister, occasional yichud with a sister, or occasional yichud with relatives, or at least blood relatives. It is practically a machlokas achron. There is at least one achron who is Mako. I should mention also, actually, is a Beni Al Yakim in Yuma, a more obscure Rishon. If you dig around, Beni Al Yakim in Yuma actually says explicitly, it's Achos over Shar Krovos, like your Beni Yerucham. So there is a Chuvas Chikre Lev. The Chikre, the Achronim here, sends you to the Chikre Lev. So he says this also, that he thinks that one can perhaps be Mako, at least on all blood relatives. I think it's, however, not, and again, there are diukim to be made in both directions, because when you look in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, so they talk about Mechinkni makes this a diuk. It's Evan HaEzer Simin Yud Zayin. The Gemara talks about Yichud Avod Eishas Ish, as opposed to Yichud Arayos in general. We look at the language in Avodah Zarah. So again, so there are some Rishonim, sort of min hakatsa la katsa. The Rambam sounds like he doesn't even think Achoso is mutter at all. On the other extreme, again, we said there's some debate in Achronim, Mishnah Melech, but Pashtus, as Rambam thinks, that it's only Imo Bito. And again, maybe also grandparents and grandchildren. On the other extreme, you have this Rabbeinu Yerucham and Rabbeinu Eliakim, who say explicitly that it's relatives. Again, Tos Rosh maybe holds away. It's hard to know for sure. The Rosh and the Piskei Rosh, again, you look in the Nosekei and the standard Nosekei and Shulchan, they only talk about Achosa. They do not talk about other relatives. And the Chikrei Lev, notwithstanding, who sounds like he wants to make like a Rabbeinu Yerucham, I think the true Rav Moshe and others, I think it's usually assumed that the heter, that on the one hand we are Mekel, at least Ashkenazim are Mekel on Achoso, but that on the other hand, we would not extend it to other relatives, even to other blood relatives. If a Shiloh comes up, and sometimes these Shilohs do come up, I'm going to be stuck with my aunt, so on and so forth. It is worth asking, making a Sheol Chacham, if there's a major tzorech, just to figure out, could we ever be Mekel on the Shita of Rabbeinu Yerucham? But my impression is, in general, we do not. Two more things. Right, let's wrap up one more detail with Achoso, and let's complete the Chabur by talking about Nida. So one very practical halacha l'maaseh you should just be aware of, the Yichud Achosa, again, we Ashkenazim are making Yichud Achosa, but as the Gemara said, even Rav Asi was the whole source of the Kula, he differentiated between Imo and Bito on one hand and Achosa on the other hand, Darim Imo Bito, Misyachrim Achosa. What's the difference? Rashi already says, Yichud means lefrakim, on a occasional basis. And Dar sounds that by implication means you're actually living together. You share an apartment, share a home. So the question is, well, where draw the line? So I understand. I understand what dira means. Dira means, so Nebuch have a single parent raising a child. You have a mother raising her son. You have a father raising his daughter. So they can maintain a home together for years and years and years. And that's not a concern whatsoever. So that's not permitted for a brother and sister to maintain a home together. The question is, where do you draw the line between between Yichud and Dira? So that's even, it's clear that even, let's say you have a brother and sister that are coming to YU and Stern respectively, or I should say Yeshiva College and Stern respectively, different arms of YU. So if they decide, you know, it's going to be very lonely, so instead of each being in the dorm, they'd like to see each other more often, they'll share an apartment, they'll rent an apartment together in the west side, they'll be halfway equidistant, so that's clearly a violation of Dar. That's not just Misyachir Adam and Mechalos, so that's us, even according to Ravasi. But where you draw the, a whole semester, that's too much. Where you draw the lines? It's interesting. So there's a number of Achronim debate what the number should be. Should it be 3 days? Should it be, Rav Meir Arik writes, 30 days? And it says, others give other shiurim of how much time, what's the magic number, the dividing line between Yichud and Dira. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he rejects the whole premise. He said there is no magic number. It's not arithmetic. It's not a particular number of days when you cross the line from Yichud to Dira. He says you have to look at it in context. He said you're trying to get a sense of is this length of time so long that you're living there, or that you're is it short enough that we can call it a visit? So he says you have to look at context. If you're visiting your married sister who lives down the block, you're visiting your married sister who lives in town. So if you weren't related, how long would be appropriate to be stay as a guest? If you're coming from in town, you might stay overnight, maybe for 2 nights. But it would be odd to move in someone else's to a neighbor's house for a week. That's not a guest. That means you're moving in. Right? But if you're coming from America to Eretz Yisrael or vice versa, so it's totally normal to have friends who are coming to stay as a guest for a week. You're coming from a different country. If you're coming from America to Australia, it might be entirely normal to stay as a guest for 3-4 weeks. That's a major trip. Yeah, you come to visit Australia or vice versa. You come from Australia to visit America, your visit may well be 3-4 weeks. But if you're visiting from in town, your visit would never be that long. That's where Moshe Feinstein Shita. You have to figure out, if you weren't related, how long, up until what point would you still call it a visit? At what point, given context, and given the distance at which you've traveled, would you call it you're moving in? And once it's long enough to say you're moving in, if it's residence and not just visiting, so at that point, that length of time is forbidden for a brother or sister to be alone together for that that number of days, whatever the number of days is. I think Halacha Maizer, Rabbi Shechter assumes, like the Rameir Arik and the Chubas Imre Yosher, that it is 30 days, and he assumes it's based on, you look elsewhere in Halacha, in the first paragraph of Bava Basra, and elsewhere, what it takes to be called a Toshav, or Dira. Dira and the Dira in the context of Mezuzah and elsewhere, the Dira is often defined as 30 days. The Gemara, first paragraph of Bava Basra, talks about paying local taxes when you're considered to be an inhabitant. So that's, Imre Shechter assumes Halacha Lamaisa, like the Rameir Arik, it's up to 30 days is fine. And Moshe Feinstein's Svara is a very, very, very fascinating one. So again, we have a drasha, and we have a drasha of Ben Misyachim Imo, and we have the historical background of that the Gemara presents in Yuma and Sanhedrin based on the Pesukim and Zechariah about the change that occurred 1,000 years after Maamar Har Sinai in the days of Anshei HaGedolah, as a result of which Rav Asi is of the opinion that there's at least some heter of Yichud that applies more broadly than just Imo. So Imo Bito, and if it's Yichud Bakroi, even with Achoso, Halacha Lamaisa, presumably it's only Achoso and not other relatives, but with Achoso there would be a heter Yichud Be'akroi. It's worth noting, in closing, one other erva, and that's the erva that appears on the list, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch have, beginning of Perek Chaf Beis and Siman Chaf Beis, respectively. They say you can't be misyachid in ha'erva with the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch list three exceptions: Imo, Bito, and Ishtonida. Ishtonida. So what's the background there? So the implication is fascinating. The implication is that normally yichud with a nida is part of the core iser. Again, however you understand the core iser, whether you think that the yichud arayos, again, maybe according to Rambam, is only a very ancient din drabanan, or in fact is the iser daraisa, but the Rambam is very clear that the later gezeros of yichud penuya and yichud goya, they didn't cover nida. Nida was very part of the original Issa. And that's consistent with the position of the Rambam, that nida is an erva. There is a big machlokas. I sent you in my comments several places the Rambam says this. Over the course of Yisur Biya and elsewhere, the Rambam assumes that nida is an erva. Tosus, Tav Bezim and Alef and Yavamas, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, holds that nida is not an erva. What's the background to this machlokas? Everyone agrees, Psukim in the Chumash, that there's an Isser Bia between a Nida, between a man and a Nida. And everyone agrees, Psukim in the Chumash, that there's an Isser Kare, that there's an Onish Kare attached to that. So usually, discussion Tanam, but usually we, Halachal Maisa, we define an Erva as an Isser Bia that has Kare attached. So, offhand, you should say, of course, it needs an Erva. Isser Bia, there's Kare. It's an open and shut case. Here's the problem. One of the nafkaminas in whether an Isser Bia is an erva or not is that the product of an erva is a mamzer. If a couple violate an Isser Lav, a couple violate Isser, I say they have a Bia which is Aser, but it's not Arayos, the child is not a mamzer. Maybe the child would be sometimes a halal, sometimes some other status, but not a mamzer. Mamzer, the Mishnahs tell us, is when it's a result of an erva, an act of gilui arayos. But ben hanida is clearly an exception. Ben hanida, if a woman doesn't use a mikvah, a married woman does not use a mikvah, the couple has children, the children are not, absolutely not mamzerim. That is very clear. The halacha, obviously, is very, very relevant for Balei Tshuva. If one knows that one's parents were not keeping Taras Mishpacha, that does not, absolutely does not make the children into Mamzer or Mamzeris. Ben Hanida is not a Mamzer. So the question is, one second, on the one hand, one rule is that Erva means Isser Bia with Kares. On the other hand, another rule is that the Chaya, the product of Gila Rayos, is a Mamzer. So the Machlokas Rambam Tosas is, Nida is an exception to one of the two. To which one? To which one? So the Rambam says, Nida is an erva. It's an exception. We can explain why Nida is an exception, that the Ben HaNida is not a mamzer, despite the fact that Nida is an erva. And Tom says, no, the opposite. If Ben HaNida is not a mamzer, that means that Nida is not an erva. I is an Isser Kari. So that's where Ben Tom quotes Ben Tom. On the bottom of Beis Amon Aleph and Yevamos, that the definition of erva is a little more nuanced than that. It's an iser bia with kares where it's asur lezeh muteres lezeh, where it's not universal iser. In other words, it's an iser based on a relationship, either a familial relationship between the boel and the nevelas in the case of incest, or the marriage relationship between the nevelas and her husband. But nida is not the result of a relationship, it's just her personal status. So that's not an erva. Erva has to be iser bia with kares that's defined by a relationship. And that's the position of Tosus. That's a machlokas. Again, Rambam and Tosus, would we call bia with anida is that an act of gilui arayos or not? No nafkin from zeres, because everyone agrees that ben anida is not a mamzer, but there can be other nafkinas. One nafkin that perhaps is yehar vayavar. Another nafkinina is going to be in terms of the siyagim. In terms of kiruv basar and potentially yichud, is that an iser doraisa or an iser derabanan? Again, if the woman is anida and also married to someone else, she's an ashes ishes in erva anyways. The question is if she's my own wife or a single woman who's a nida. So is that a relationship in erva or not? So Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam. I quote the Rambam straight, that yichud with a nida is part of the core iser yichud. So that implies that it's absolutely an iser do'oraisa. And that's very significant. And the key point lahalacha here is to recognize that what that means when you talk about yichud penuya is only a drabbanan based on later gzeira of Davru Beis Dino, that's largely irrelevant bisman hazeh. In other words, because most single women are nidos, so leaving aside the fact that she's a she's not married to this man because they're not married to each other, it's a violation of a lav or an asay. Forget about that. If she's a nida, so it's going to be a isser karis, and according to Rambam, an erva, the isser yichud doraisa because she's an erva. When do we say the yichud penuya is rabbanan? That's when she's a penuya tahura, which bizman hamikdash was common because everyone went to mikvah, man, woman, married, single, everyone went to mikvah or to be tahar, to eat truma, to eat karbanos, to go into beis hamikdash. But achor churban habayis, where tahara is really relevant only with respect to hetero labayla, is considered to be highly inappropriate for a single woman to go to mikvah. So the only time the single woman would go to mikvah, either she's young enough that she has not yet become a nida for the first time, or she's now single but was previously married and was married until after the last time that she became a nida, and now she's postmenopausal and went to mikveh after the last nidus and then subsequently lost her husband. But most single women the yichud is absolutely a deraisa. It's not yichud pnuya. That's yichud nida. So the footnote to this, or nafkamina in this, or perhaps something that may push one way or the other, is once you say that yichud with anida is doraisa, so then you have to grapple with why is ishto nida not aser. It's clear that ishto nida is mutter. That's Gemara in several places, in Ksubis and Sanhedrin. There's no iser yichud with one's wife. The Gemara Ksubas has an exceptional case that one that with Shulchan Aruch quotes here, Rambam Shulchan Aruch quote here. The one time that is the iser yichud with ishto nida is kodem bi rishona. If either you have a chupas nida where the woman was a nida when they got married, and she has not yet become tahora, or she got married, she was muteris, but the couple did not succeed in having bi rishona until she became a nida. So either way, the only time that the Isser, practically speaking, Isser Yichud with Ishto, Nida, is Kodem Bia Rishona, which is a rarity. But again, if it's not Ishto Nida, a Nida who's not married to anyone, a single Nida, so that's going to be a real Isser Yichud Daraisa. Ishto Nida is typically Mutter, again, with the exception of Kodem Bia Rishona. So Rishonim give different svaras as to why that is. It may feed into sort of the ideas we were talking about before about achoso and how lamigri inish bekrevte expands emo to include achoso, mean that emo is not per se about the mother. It's not exactly because about the mother. It means any family relationship which by its nature vastly reduces the concern. So that's what some of the Bayatosas say, that's pas pasalo. The fact that she's asura now, but in a week or two, she's going to be muteris again because she's anida, but she's a husband and wife. So as soon as she goes to mikvah, they'll be thoroughly mutter to one another. So that's why the Isri Yichud does not apply. The Rosh, in the Hilchas Nida B'Katsara, at the end of the Rosh Nida, you saw, see, he has a fair, Shechter likes to quote, it's a fascinating, sorry, maybe additional to this, he seems to say that, again, the core idea, that's the Gemara Sanhedrin, Masuga Bashoshanim. The Gemara says that religious Jews tend to be very successful. Religious Jews who are committed to Taras HaShoha tend to be very successful at avoiding violating Gila Rois with Bia with Anida. The Rush has sort of added Svara. He says that if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Kisim Kuf Tzadi Hei, there's a long list of Harchakos. When a husband and wife are in a period of nidus, there are various types of interaction that have a sort of romantic overtone that are forbidden. Not just actual kiruv basa, not just actual contact. That's a lav daraisa. But other types of serving each other, a variety of activities. You'll get to the details when you learn in Hilchos Nida in advance of getting married in Chasan Shiurim. So a number of other activities that are forbidden because they have sort of a without physical contact, but they're sort of a little too romantic. So the Rush seems to imply that that balances out the Heter Yichud. To have an Isser Yichud every time, Isser Yichud husband and wife every time she's a Nida, that would be incredibly impractical. So it sounds almost as though the Rosh is saying that sort of an extension of what we said, Svari said before. That the reason why there's no Isser Yichud is because the Svara of Imo applies here too. Pas Pasal is a sort of relationship that there's reduced concern. After all, it's the Heter Lachar Zman. It sounds like the Rosh is saying that Chazal wanted to make sure that they could reduce the concern as much as possible so that it would fall within, so that Ishto Nida would fall within the same rubric as Imo, and that's why they imposed additional other Harchakas. So the other Harchakas serve to remind me, even though there's a Heter Yichud, they serve to remind me and to keep me, help me to keep my distance and not added Harchakas to prevent a couple from falling in to be nichshal be'ishtonida, and that allows, because it's such a reduced concern and perhaps engineered by design, the fact that you have those harchakas in place, so that allows us to point out that in that case, under those circumstances, yichud is indeed mutter, and the trade-off is, as Rush points out, certainly worthwhile. We'd rather say you can't serve food to each other and so on and so forth. But you don't have to move out of the house. You can still stay a newlywed couple, even though there's no one else in the house. You can still stay in the same apartment. Ishto nida, under normal circumstances, again, with that one exception of Kol Nabi Rishona, under normal circumstances, 99.9% of the time, Ishto nida, there is no Isser Yichud. Kiruv Basar does apply, but Yichud does not. Yashar, last time we spoke about the Isser of Yichud, and as I mentioned last time, most of the Shech likes to say most of Hilchos Yichud is the study of Kulos. So this was the first one, the which relatives are have no, which arayos per se have no Isser Yichud, Imo, Bito, perhaps Achoso, grandparents, grandchildren, and Ishto Nida. There are many more Haterim to come. We're going to dive in Mitzvah in coming weeks. Any more questions?